إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده وحبيبه وخاتم رسله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. It is my privilege once again to sit here before you to discuss and to learn together and share teachings of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teachings of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us, teachings that will make us enter Jannah, which is our objective, and teachings that will save us from hellfire, which is our fear. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we have spoken already a long series about the signs of the last hour, followed by the hereafter, followed by heaven, and today inshaAllah we start with hellfire. Last week I did speak about hellfire only a little bit, but because of the restraint of time we couldn't go and cover a lot of its sessions. So today inshaAllah I am going to start again from the beginning, and I would like to begin from where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واتقوا النار التي وقودها الناس والحجارة fear, a fire whose fuel is rocks and human beings. So the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a scary fire. It's a fire of horror, a fire of pain, a fire of torture. It's only consumption, it's only food. The way that it grows and lives, the way that it quenches or satisfies its hunger is by eating rocks and human beings. In fact, Jahannam, hellfire, is extremely hungry right now. That every day it calls out to Allah and says, "Oh my Lord, my corners have eaten me away and my hunger is starving and I have nothing to fill me." Allah says to her, to Jahannam, "Be patient, I shall fill you with human beings, all of those who disobeyed me, and from the jinns, until you are satisfied." And for those of you who recall when we spoke about the hereafter, we spoke about Jahannam, how when it is prepared, it begins to scream out and yell with monstrosity, like a lion or a beast that is starving, and it has a carcass in front of it. How does it rush to it? Jahannam begins to eat away, and Allah puts more of its inhabitants, more of the disobedient ones and the disbelievers into it, and hellfire begins to get greedier and greedier and hungrier, because hellfire grows when it eats. Just like when you feed fire in this life, it grows. Jahannam also grows and says, "Give me more, give me more." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about this instance in Surah Qaf, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, yawma yaqulu li jahannama hal imtala'ti wa taqul." يوم نقول لجهنم هل امتلأت وتقول هل من مزيد. Jahannam shall be questioned by Allah. "Are you now full? Are you now full? Are you satisfied?" And Jahannam will reply continuously, "Is there more? Is there more?" until finally, as in the Sahih Hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is in Sahih Muslim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then places his foot into Jahannam without description. My dear brothers and sisters, I make a note, without trying to imagine or describing Allah's features, but we accept them as He described them to Himself, without an image, without a description, without a similitude, without an example. He places his foot into hellfire, and hellfire shrinks and says, Ya Rabbu qattun qatt, O my Lord, it is enough, it is enough. And this is how he calms hellfire down. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created hellfire and warned us from the hellfire, not just to scare us and terrorize us for nothing. For if we said that, then we are claiming that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an oppressive God. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَحَاشَ لِلَّهِ. If we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala scares us with the fire just because He wants to scare us, then we are saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cruel, and this is kufr wal-iyadu billah, or unjust. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is the one who informed our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sahih Hadith to tell us this, that we are not to scare or terrorize other people, meaning to scare someone, make them afraid of something, even if it means a joke, to scare them in the dark, in the night. Even he went to the extremes of saying, whoever points a weapon in the direction of his brother or sister in Islam, even if it was a joke, then they have sinned towards them. Allowed to even do that. So how is it the one who says, forbids us from scaring one another, why would he want to only scare us for nothing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that he scares his servants only for one reason, and that is in order to help us, refrain from the sins when we remember the punishment and the consequence after that. And I repeat, how caring is a mother to her children, or a father to his children? There is no one more caring than a mother or a father to their children. Yet you find that a mother and a father are the first to warn their child from coming near the oven, for example, or coming near gas, for example, or going near the drawer where there are knives, for example. Some parents even bring the child's finger close to the heat of the fire to let them feel the heat. Not because they want to scare their children, not because they want to break their personality or their confidence, but in order to save them from the consequence of the harm. If you don't know the harm or the consequence, how are you going to avoid coming near it? So the Prophet ﷺ used to constantly advise us by saying, save yourselves from the fire. اتقوا النار, اتقوا النار. Fear the fire. Fear the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he gives us examples of how to fear it. وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرًا. Even if you were to donate half of a date in the cause of Allah, half, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from hellfire. And Allah says in the Quran continuously, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Fear the fire in which its fuel is human beings and rocks. So this is the reason why Islam concentrates on talking about hellfire and judgment day. Many people, wallahi, they try to make Islam look like a scary religion. They try to say, how come your religion always talks about hellfire and punishment? For those of you who came to the classes before, you will notice that we not only speak about scary things, but rather there were so many positive things that we spoke about. Isn't that correct? How much did we speak about Jannah and Allah's mercy? How much did we speak about repentance and salvation? How much did we speak about the glory of Allah and His mercy on the Day of Judgment? We spoke much about that. Allah is extremely merciful. At the same time, those who disobey him, he has prepared an extreme punishment. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah says in the Quran, after warning us in Surah Al-Mursalat, verse after verse after verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a warning from certain sins, different sins. And each time he says, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, woe to those who lie about this day that will come, who don't believe in it and say it's a lie. He continuously repeats it and gives signs and examples, and then he concludes the Surah Al-Mursalat with this quote, فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. If this does not work and does not make you straighten your path, Allah says, then what is there anything other than this hadith, than this reminder that will make them believe? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions hellfire in such extremities, in such terror, and people heed not, then my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the person that you have only wronged yourself. Allah tells us the extremes about His punishment in order to avoid them and how to avoid them. Therefore I say to you that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us and scares us of His hellfire and His punishment, that in itself, wallahi, is showing His mercy to us. Scaring us from hellfire is the mercy of Allah to us. You know, I'm a teacher, alhamdulillah, and it's a wonderful job to see the fruits of your teaching with young people and seeing them learn from you. I always tell them that if a teacher was to not warn you about the consequences of failing an exam, did not give you an image of a person who doesn't complete his studies, or doesn't have a trade, or doesn't do something with his life, if he doesn't explain what consequences there are in the life, and all the ugly side of life, when a person doesn't stand firm on his feet, or her feet, then that teacher, wallahi, is a cruel teacher, a bad teacher to the students. And he will be hated and cursed later on, when he doesn't care about warning them from the consequences of things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us and He warns us. That is His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, a Muslim, well, better than saying a Muslim, because everyone says they are Muslim. There is a higher level than Muslim which we all aim at getting to. And you will not enter heaven, Jannah, from the first go, unless you have reached the level of mu'min, not just Muslim. A mu'min, a true believer, alaykum as-salam. A mu'min, a true believer, is one who lives a life between hope and fear. Ever heard of that statement? A mu'min lives a life between what? Hope, and a life of what? Of fear. He doesn't live a life of continuous hope, as if that's it. Anyone who says the Shahada is going to heaven no matter what, they can sin, they can do some sins, they can do all of that, they can stop their prayer if they like, not fast, they will go to heaven because they say, I believe in God. Nor does a Muslim live a life of fear, where they think that's it, no matter what I do, Allah is going to put me in hellfire. But you balance it out between the two. We live a life of hope and ready to be afraid. Hope is when we see a good opportunity for us to earn some rewards, our hope strikes in and kicks in. And we remember Jannah and Allah's mercy and His rewards. So we hasten to do that good deed. And I've seen it, wallahi al-azim, with people whose faces look like mu'mins, wallah. Wallahi, the tiniest of good deed, moving an obstacle from the street, helping someone stand up if they cannot do that themselves, racing to teach another person, two or three people racing each other to do these good deeds, these are people who have hope in them, their hope in Allah's mercy and His rewards had made them struggle and race to do this good deed. And we live a life of fear as well, so that when we see an ugly or a sinful act that brings us a desire or tempts us to do it, we fear Jahannam and remember the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which stops us from doing that. So this is how a Muslim lives a life between hope and fear. But a mu'min always assumes of his Lord the best. When you do a good deed, you assume that Allah will accept it. When you stay away from a bad deed, you assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for fearing Him. As the Prophet ﷺ said in Hadith al-Qudsi, that Allah says, أَنَا عَنْدَ حُسْنِ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am the way my servant assumes of me. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, when you ask Allah for paradise, ask Him for what? Ask Him for al-Firdaus. And you all know what al-Firdaus is. Isn't that right? Can anyone tell me what is al-Firdaus?
Yes.
The highest place? Did you say the highest place? Correct. My young brother there said it's the highest level in all the jannas. It is where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. So always have high hopes. And in your fear is also hope. Hoping that Allah will see this and He will forgive you for fearing Him. Let us move on now to the part where wallahi I fear talking about. And I cannot through this talk give the awe that it deserves. The awe means the fear that is meant to be felt. The description of hellfire. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Jibreel alayhi salam once descended and came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad. And with him was either Mikael or Israfil. I don't remember quite well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the companion that was with Jibreel alayhi salam and he asked him, why is it that I see your companion today pale? Pale and scared. I've never seen him like this before. And Jibreel alayhi salam answered back, my companion today has seen hellfire for the first time. And he has never seen hellfire before. So it made him miserable in the state that you see. There is a guardian of hellfire named Malik. Allah had created him to be the guardian of hellfire. The guardian of Jannah, heaven, is Ridwan. The guardian of hellfire is Malik. Malik has never smiled, ever, since the day hellfire was created. This hadith is found in the story of Isra' wal Mi'raj, when the Prophet ﷺ ascended to the heavens in the miracle. And he passed by every angel. Every angel smiled to the meeting of the Prophet ﷺ. But when he reached Malik, he said, As-salamu alaykum. And Malik replied, wa alaykum as-salam, but did not put a smile on his face and seemed unwelcoming. The Prophet ﷺ asked Jibreel alayhi salam, why is this one different? And he said, Malik has never smiled or was cheerful since the day hellfire was created. In one hadith, which is not very strong, however, its meaning is correct. Where Jibreel alayhi salam said to him, Ya Rasulullah, لَقَدْ أُوْقِدَ عَلَى النَّارِ أَلْفُ عَامٍ حَتَّى أَبْيَضَّتْ ثُمَّ أُوْقِدَ عَلَيْهَا أَلْفُ عَامٍ حَتَّى أَحْمَرَّتْ ثُمَّ أُوْقِدَ عَلَيْهَا أَلْفُ عَامٍ حَتَّى سَوَدَّتْ فَهِيَ سَوْدَاءٌ مُظْلِمَةٌ. Hellfire has been fueled and ignited for 1,000 years until it turned white. Then another 1,000 years until it turned red. And then another 1,000 years until it turned black. And the first white that it turned to, my dear brothers and sisters, is beyond the red that you have in Islam. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created the fire of the world, He decreased its heat by 70 fold than the hellfire, so that we are able to heat our food and use it for our needs in this life. Otherwise, it would have burnt everything inside. So Jahannam, hellfire, is beyond any heat that ever exists on the face of the earth. In fact, hellfire is at the extreme heat that heat can ever reach. It is so hot that the heat has reached a point where it is impossible for heat to go beyond it. And Allah made it that way. Jahannam has over 7 names, my dear brothers and sisters. But there are 7 that are known to us in the Quran. It is called Jahannam, which means hell. It is also called Naar, which means fire. It is called Sa'ir, which means that which is ignited and fueled continuously. Another name for it is Saqar, which is the 5th level of hellfire below. It is where the people who neglected their prayers will be situated. It is also called Jahim, which means everlasting misery. A 6th name is Al-Hawiyah, which means that which makes one fall from a high place. And lastly, we know of another name called Al-Hutama, which means the transformer of things into rubbles. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةِ الَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُقْصَدَةٌ فِي عَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدَةٍ. Allah says, and what will explain to you what Al-Hutama is? It is the fueled fire of Allah. It is the one that goes and attacks right into the hearts of the people and rips the heart out and burns you until it reaches the heart, then burns you again. It shall encompass the people and instill them inside of it, in walls and pillars chained up. The people of the hellfire will be. Jahannam also has 7 levels and 7 doors. Each level has a door, and each level is below the other level. Each level is worse in torture and punishment and image than the one before it. And the distance between each level, well, only Allah knows. But what I can tell you is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once walking with his companions when suddenly they heard a huge bang. He said, "Do you know what this noise is?" They said, "Only Allah and His Messenger know." He then said, A stone was thrown into hellfire 70 years ago, and only now did it reach the bottom of hellfire. 70 years until it reached from the top to the bottom. And this is not counting the hollows in the ground and the ditches in the ground and the tunnels that exist under the ground inside of hellfire and the valleys that go even below the bottom of hellfire. And that is the place of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. The size and weight of hellfire, only Allah knows. However, what I can tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, is that on a day of judgment, hellfire will be dragged, and it has 70,000 ropes, or chains, or leashes. On every leash, there are 70,000 angels pulling hellfire along. So 70,000 times 70,000 equal 4,900,000,000 angels to drag hellfire or to stop it from eating everyone. Each angel of these is so huge that it requires 3 days' journey for a walking person to reach from the earlobe to the shoulder. 4,900,000,000 of these huge angels, brothers and sisters. So only Allah knows the size and weight of hellfire. It is so hot, as I mentioned in past classes, that when it reaches 1,000 years distance from the people, the disbelievers' eyes explode from the heat. So what about it being, what about being inside of it? We ask Allah to save us from it. In another hadith regarding the depth of hellfire, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a rock like this, he looked at a stone on the ground, a pebble, and he grabbed it, and he said, if a pebble like this were to be thrown from the sky, this sky here, down to the earth, this earth, and the distance between the sky and the earth, Prophet ﷺ said, the distance between the sky and the earth is a journey of 500 years for a traveler. That's the journey for a traveler, 500 years to reach from the earth to the sky. This rock would reach the earth before nightfall. If the rock were to be thrown from the sky to earth, which is a distance of 500 years journey, the rock would reach the earth before nightfall, before the depth of the night. He said, but if this same rock was thrown into hellfire, it would take 40 years, night and day, before it reaches the bottom of hellfire. This is another hadith. And this hadith is narrated in Tafsir al-Tabari. As for the features of hellfire, my dear brothers and sisters, it is not just a fire that burns and ignites. It is, wallahi, a beast, a monster, a creature. It is a creature that has a tongue. It has eyes. It speaks. It has a voice, a terrible voice. It has claws. It can move in any direction it wants. It breathes fire. It's a monster, my dear brothers and sisters. And it calls out, where are the disbelievers? Where are the arrogant? Where are the idolaters? Where are the adulterers? Where are those who left Allah's worship? Where are they? Where are those who did not give from their wealth the rights of the poor? Where are those who consumed haram wealth and haram belongings from other people? Where are those who harmed their brothers and sisters? Where are those who wronged their religion? And its color is black and dark, but its horror images inside of it can easily be seen by its inhabitants. All the different kinds of horror, they pop up in front of a person and torture them. Wallahu Akbar. My dear brothers and sisters, hellfire has valleys, hills, trees, lakes and ponds, rocks mostly, clouds, rain, clothing, food, drink, beds, headgear, shoes. You are able to see each other and meet each other. There are angels in there everywhere. There are scorpions and snakes, monsters and creatures like none before, and all sorts of torturing mechanisms, uncountable torturing mechanisms. However, every part of Jahannam is fire. Fire upon fire. Its hills, its valleys, everything is fire and torture and pain. And the most horrifying in all of Jahannam are two things. The angels that are in there to torture the people, and the people themselves, their horrific images. They scare everyone else. So how do the people look like in Jahannam, therefore? First of all, before I mention that, let me mention briefly about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how they will be sent walking to their doom in hellfire. This is on their way to hellfire, brothers and sisters. The day of judgment has ended to them, or their own judgment has ended, and Allah has sentenced them to hellfire, whether eternally or temporarily, because as we said, amongst them are Muslims who believed in one God, but they neglected their prayers. They committed the major sins. They neglected the compulsory things. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Az-Zumar, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا وَقَالَ
سنتها ألم يأتكم رسل منكم يتلون عليكم آيات ربكم وينذرونكم لقاء يومكم هذا قالوا بلى ولكن حقت كلمة العذاب على الكافرين.
Which means, and the people of hellfire, the disbelievers in Allah, they shall be forced to walk in a group after group, in lines after lines, group after group, like slaves, my dear brothers and sisters, chained up like slaves, group after group. Allah says, as soon as they arrive at the doors of hellfire, futihat, it is opened immediately. This verse is also recited in another way, futihat, which means it is immediately opened, no waiting. Its doors are immediately opened, and its guardians will say, didn't you get messengers to warn you and told you about this day? And they will reply, yes, they did, crying. However, the torment of Allah is upon those who disbelieve and reject Him. Allah also says in another verse,
ونسوق المجرمين إلى جهنم وردا.
And we shall drive along. You know, like when you have a stubborn, this is for the farmers, those who have a stubborn donkey or a stubborn mule or a stubborn buffalo, right? And you want to drive it along the way that you want it to go. Allah says that will drive them like mules, in other words, wirda, line by line, until they reach Jahannam. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who receive their book in their left, then they will be transformed in their features, and it will be said, خذوا, take him, فغلوا. In the hadith, it says, as soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خذوا, take him, 70,000 angels race each other to see who will be the one amongst these angels, who will be the one to grab the chains and wrap them around this person, putting a steel ring around his neck with a chain that connects to his wrists and also to his legs, and with a huge steel ball they will have to carry, and immerse their claws into his forehead and into his legs and throw them into hellfire. They race each other to see that, to do that. فَغُلُّوهُ, Allah says, dip him in, and dip him deep. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ, then inside of hellfire, imprison him.
ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوهُ,
then bring a 70-meter chain and let him wear it and it wear him. The scholars, Mufassirun, thought, what does this mean? It wear him and he wear it? The way that they said was that the chain is so huge, it is entered through their anus and taken out through their nostril. So it is, and then it is wrapped around their necks and their bodies. Therefore, it is inside of them and outside of them. They are in the chain and they are also outside of the chain. If one ring of that chain were to be dropped on earth, it will burn everything in sight. Because soon I will describe to you how huge the inhabitants of hellfire are. Allah says in the Quran,
إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادًا لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا.
Verily, Jahannam is awaiting and prepared for those who sin and disobey. In this verse, Allah is not talking about the disbelievers. It is as if He is talking about the believers who have neglected Allah's signs and neglected His compulsory acts and took them as an unimportant thing. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا, a place of residence or a place of return for them.
لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا لَا يَذُوقُونَ فِيهَا بَرْدًا وَلَا شَرَابًا إِلَّا حَمِيمًا وَغَسَّاقًا جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا,
which means they shall stay therein, أَحْقَابًا. And I'll come back to this one. They will neither taste any cold or comfort, nor will they taste any drink to quench their thirst. The only thing they will taste is hamim and ghassaq, a result of their actual actions in life. What does ahqaba mean? They will stay in their ahqaba. Ahqab is a plural for huqub. That's a unit. And huqub to the Arabs is known as this long. It is known as one huqub is as long as 80 years. Each day in that year, each day of those years is equal to 1,000 years of ours. So 1,000 years times 360 days times 80 years would equal one huqub, which is equal to 28,800,000 years. One huqub. And Allah says, they will stay therein ahqab, many of these 28,800,000 years. This hadith, this ayah, or this meaning, sorry, is supported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Ibn Abbas, Al-Hasan, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, and others. May Allah be pleased with them all. In another meaning also by others, they said a unit of ahqab is 300 years. Each day of those years is equal to 1,000 years. So 1,000 times 360 times 300 years. Overall, my dear brothers and sisters, the meaning overall is that the inhabitants of hellfire, the disbelievers, they will stay there forever and ever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using an expression of long, long time. As for the ones who used to believe in one God, who will be placed in hellfire, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them certain years or certain days as He wills. And their matter is depending on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides about them. Their fate is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, if one day in hellfire is equal to 100 years of ours, how long is 1 year? How long is 1 month? Try and calculate, if you can, how long 1 minute is in hellfire. Can you bear it? A brother of mine, like a Muslim brother of mine, when his day of his wedding came, he made his wedding a haram environment. He made it a free mixed wedding, dancing and singing, men and women dancing with one another. This is how our typical Lebanese weddings are. And I do not take pride in that. After he did his wedding, and before that, I kept advising him. And after he did his wedding, I told him that I was disappointed. And you have sinned against yourself, shouldn't have done such a thing because I care for you. After talking and talking, this person, because he heeds not the hellfire, he said, okay, so we took one dip in hellfire. What's the big deal? One dip is nothing. If only he knew. Another sister, her friend had her wedding, and she is normally veiled. On her wedding day, she wanted to take the veil off. So we advised and advised. And she said, it's just one day, let her have her happiness. Taking off the veil now is happiness for them, in front of other men. It's just one day, big deal. One day of disobedience, how much would it equal in hellfire if they don't repent and seek Allah's mercy? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. We mentioned that in Jahannam Allah will give him a torture of Hamim and Ghassat. What is Hamim? Hamim is a type of drink in hellfire. The people of hellfire request a drink. So then they are told to go to a lake in Jahannam. In this lake there are scorpions and snakes. And the people of hellfire are brought and dipped in this lake until their flesh and their organs and their skin melt off their body and they reach their ankles. They bound their skin and flesh bundle up at their feet, like when you take off a gown or something, or a trousers. And then it is slipped off their feet and placed into the lake. Off their bones, their flesh, their blood, their pus, their filth and their discharge, all inside of that lake, on the edges and on the walls, and they are given a cup from that to drink. When they drink it, Prophet ﷺ, the hadith says that if this drink were to be placed on earth, everything that smells it, or it would have put off every living thing from its stench. And when they drink it, it makes their intestines and internal organs melt and burn. This is their drink. From the pus and the blood and the flesh and the discharge of the humans who are burning in hellfire. We ask Allah to save us. As for Ghassaq, well, it is also another drink similar to Hamim. However, the difference is, Hamim is an extremely, extremely hot type of fluid beyond any heat. And Ghassaq is an extremely chilled and frozen type of drink that makes the exact opposite extreme effect. Extreme chill and extreme heat. Both of them are tortures in hellfire. And they are forced to drink from that. وَلَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah says in the Quran, فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا, which means, so taste the pain. We will not increase you with anything more except for more torture and pain. And after they feel all that pain, the burning, the treachery, the torture, the drinks, the melting, the screaming, all of that, Allah says to them, through the angels, they say, taste the punishment. We will increase you now with only more punishment. In Surah Sa'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes the state of the people in hellfire. He says, هَذَا وَإِنَّ لِلطَّاغِينَ لَشَرَّ مَآبٍ جَهَنَّمَ يَصْلَوْنَهَا فَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادَ هَذَا فَلْيَذُوقُوهُ حَمِيمٌ وَغَسَّاقٌ وَآخَرُ مِنْ شَكْلِهِ أَزْوَاجٌ, which means this And for those rejectors of faith, they shall have the worst about, the worst return. Jahannam, they shall be imprisoned in there, and what a terrible end. This is what they will have. So taste the extreme heat and taste the ugly drink. And there are others, وآخر, and other types of tortures are the same as these. There are other types of tortures in pairs. What does in pairs mean? Meaning one in extreme heat and the other torture in extreme cold, in extreme chill.
هذا فوج مقتحم معكم لا مرحبا بهم إنهم صالوا النار قالوا بل أنتم لا مرحبا بكم أنتم قدمتموه لنا فبئس القرار قالوا ربنا من قدم لنا فزده عذابا ضعفا في النار وقالوا ما لنا لا نرى رجالا كنا نعدهم من الأشرار أتخذناهم سخريا أم زاغت بنا الأبصار.
Which means, here is a troop rushing headlong with you evil people. You will be cramped in together. Allah is describing how the evil people and the people who followed the evil people will be driven into hellfire, and they will be cramped up together at its doors, and they will be all thrown together into hellfire. That's what Allah is saying, headlong together. No welcome for them. Truly, they shall burn in the fire. The followers of the bad people will cry, no, you too, no welcome for you. You see, when they're entering, the evil people who have followed, they will say to the people who followed them, you are not welcome. It's because of you we are here. And the people who followed them will say to the people, to the evil ones, no, it's you, no welcome to you. Cursed you be. It is you who brought us, who brought this upon us, you evil people. How evil is the place to stay in? They look at Jahannam, and after saying to them, no welcome to you, it's because of you we ended up here, they look around and they say, crying and tearing, how evil is this place to stay in? Allah continues,
قالوا ربنا من قدم لنا هذا فزده عذابا ضعفا في النار.
They will say, oh our Lord, whoever made us come into this fire, then give them double the punishment. Give them double the punishment. Allah continues,
وقالوا ما لنا لا نرى رجالا كنا نعدهم من الأشرار.
And they will say, after looking around, and they will say, how is it that we do not see with us those men who used to live with us in the life, in the former life, how come we don't see them here with us in hellfire? We used to count them as bad people. Did we take them as a joke? Or have our eyes failed us to know who they really are? Do you know who they're talking about, brothers and sisters? They are talking about the believers who used to call them to Jannah. In this life, the evil people, what do? When they see a righteous person calling to halal, warning them from haram, when they see people following this religion, they say, you are lost cases. You are evil people. You people are going to hellfire. So then when they end up in hellfire, Allah says, they will look around and say, where are those men that we used to consider to be evil? Did we take them as a joke? Or did our eyes fail us to know who they really are and follow them? My dear brothers and sisters, do not let your eyes fail you from knowing who these people are, and do not take them as a mockery. Wallahi, it is sad that when the righteous people sit amongst others to warn them and to help them, ever since Adam alayhi salam till today until the last hour, these bad people keep mocking them. Wallahi, even amongst the Muslims themselves. The Shaykh Muhammad, may Allah grant him the greatest in this life and hereafter, almost every khutbah here in this masjid, he mentions riba and interest. How bad it is and how terrible the consequence is. Do you know what the people do after that? Many people have sworn. Even the other day, people charged into here wanting to hit the shaykh for always mentioning riba on the minbar. La ilaha illallah. When we mention to some people that which saves them from hellfire, you find them mocking us, teasing our ways, making a mockery out of it, and then backbiting us and slandering behind our backs. That's fine, but we feel sorry for those people. And we ask Allah not to make us one of them. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Finally, in this verse, Allah concludes nothing but this. That is real. That is the way the people of the fire will argue against each other. That's how they talk to each other in hellfire. In another verse, Allah says, كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا. Every time a nation is brought into hellfire, it curses the nation that was before it. Every person curses the other, says, it's your fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. And that is only to cause more misery over the punishment that exists in hellfire. Negativity, misery, miserable words. As for the people in hellfire, my dear brothers and sisters, they cannot even look at each other because they are so horrific. The color of the people in hellfire are charcoal and ugly, like that which is burnt, a burnt material, ugly charcoal color. Their faces Allah describes them in the Quran. He says, تَلْفَحُ وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارُ وَهُمْ فِيهَا كَالِحُونَ, which means the fire roasts their faces. Listen to this explanation, brothers and sisters. The fire roasts their faces. Allah says, until they turn into the following feature, كَالِحُونَ. Their top lip is melted away, up their face until it reaches their forehead. So you can imagine, their lip burnt away to their forehead. And their bottom lip is melted away until it stretches down to their navel. So see that horrific picture? The mouth is opened in such a horrible feature. When you look at a dead person, just a normal dead human being with his mouth open, how scary is that? What about a person whose lips are widely open and knotted away? Also, their teeth protrude outside of their jaws and outside of their face. And their head skin is melted off and scraped off. Sometimes the fire burns their face quickly. Allah says in the Quran in the meaning, and the only thing you see of them is a smiling torment. What does that mean? When the skin is burnt off the face, the skeleton appears as if it's smiling. That's the type of feature that they have. The whole eye, not just the iris, the whole eye is blue, dark blue in its feature. Black charcoal, as ugly as can be in charcoal color. And I need to note here, brothers and sisters, I don't mean the black feature that our wonderful brothers and sisters have here. فَوَاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ أَنْ أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ that you can have a black feature that looks like nur, like Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu and Bilal radiallahu anhu. But this is not the black that Allah is talking about. Nor is the white in Jannah like the white that we look. I'm not that white myself, but you know, as white as you can get, it's not that white. There can be an ugly white and a beautiful white, and there can be an ugly black and a beautiful black. Jahannam is the ugly, ugly charcoal black. And the people in hellfire have a feature of like burnt material. No human being looks like that. As for the size of the people in hellfire, they know that the back tooth, the dirs, Prophet said, dirsul kafir, the back tooth of its believer in hellfire is like the size of the mountain of Uhud. Allahu Akbar. So what about the rest of the body? The skin has 7 layers. The thickness of the layers is so huge that in order to reach from one layer to another, it takes you 3 hours journey. 3 hours journey to cross from one layer of skin to the other layer of skin. The reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made their skin so thick is so that hellfire can burn them slower and they can feel the torment even slower. And this, my dear brothers and sisters, is actually a miracle of science in the Qur'an proven to the medical science. Only a few decades ago did they discover that the pain receptors, when you feel pain, it's only because of the receptors that exist within the skin layers only. And that these pain receptors only exist within the layers of the skin, that if you were to scrape the skin off the body, you cannot feel the pain of anything anymore. You can put a needle in there, you can burn more, but you won't feel it once the skin is completely off. So the pain of the fire burns the skin. Allah says in the Quran about how their skin is burnt.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا كُلَّمَا نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب.
Allah says, the disbelievers will be thrown into hellfire. Every time the skin is burnt, they will be given another layer of skin to burn again and again, so they may feel and taste the punishment. Their nails are huge. And they grow out of their hands and their feet, and they dig deep into their flesh for more punishment. Their hair grows out of their body in the most painful manner, and it's so long. They have around their necks something called أغلال. والأغلال في أعناقهم. They will have a steel collar around their neck. And everything that they wear is steel, because steel heats up very well. Their money, which was made in this life, and they did not give from its right to the poor, it will be transformed into a steel sheets and boards, and their backs, and their fronts, and their sides, and their faces will be ironed on these steel metals, وَلَيَّهُ بِاللَّهِ. They'll be barbecued on them, roasted. There is jewelry for people in hellfire. Yes, people of hellfire wear jewelry, my dear brothers and sisters. However, you see, it is a greater punishment that when something so beautiful, something that people love so much, such as money and jewelry, is transformed into pain and agony. Jewelry is bracelets and necklaces and rings in their feet, in their necks, in their fingers, in their hands. They are all made of steel. The Prophet ﷺ saw a man wearing a ring made of pure steel. He said to him, "Do not wear the ring of steel." He said to him, "The steel ring is one of the jewelries of the people of hellfire." This doesn't mean that you cannot wear a steel ring. However, the Prophet ﷺ is indicating something to us, that people of hellfire will be wearing steel rings and they'll be tortured with them. Just like steel is not haram to be used, right? It doesn't mean that just because they are in hellfire, it means that they're haram. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, in hellfire, steel rings will be worn on their fingers because steel heats up on fire. Their voices, the Prophet ﷺ explains to us in the meaning of the hadith, that if we were to listen or hear the people being punished, we will not be able to live a comfortable life. Allah says in the Quran,
وَهُمْ يَصْطَرِخُونَ فِيهَا وَهُمْ يَصْطَرِخُونَ فِيهَا رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ عُدْنَا فَإِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ.
And they scream and yell inside of there. That's all they do. They scream and yell inside of there. And they scream and say, oh, our Lord, take us out of hellfire. Actually, they don't say take us out of hellfire. They say take us out of it. They can't even mention hellfire. They say take us out of it. If we return to the way we were, oh, our Lord, we are truly oppressors to ourselves. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuses to take them out. They cry and they cry until their cry turns, until their tears turn into blood. Allah describes their cry inside of hellfire. They say,
رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ عُدْنَا فَإِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ. قَالَ اخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ.
Which means, oh, our Lord, take us out of it. For if we return back to the way we were, we are truly wrongdoers to ourselves. A voice comes to them and says, burn inside of it. Burn inside of it and feel it. And do not speak. In the hadith it says that this voice is returned to them after 1,000 years of their request.
وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَهُمْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ لَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْهِمْ فَيَمُوتُوا وَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِهَا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي كُلَّ كَفُورٍ.
Which means, and those who disbelieve, they will have hellfire. Inside of it, their lives will never end, and so they will never die. Nor will the punishment be decreased upon them. This is how we punish those who disbelieve in us. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I thank you for listening for tonight. And next week, inshallah, we will continue. Time of prayer has come, and I'm sorry for taking too long. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحان الله وبحمده أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Yes, same time next week, inshallah. Please.